Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some differences and similarities between material law versus spiritual law, also known as the law of karma versus the divine law of life. In this show, we will explore the unfolding process of consciousness emerging from the tomb of the mind-body complex into the resurrection of eternal spiritual life. Listen as we explore apotheosis in secular terms and in real-time human experiences. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and illuminate the way. Swami, the title of today's show is Not Rocket Science, But Divine Science. What is it that you'd like our listeners to know about this title?
Well, one of the things that I'm really concerned about is we take the idea of divine science or spiritual science as seriously as we do our material sciences. As defined in dictionary.com, a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. For example, the mathematical sciences, systematic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation, any of the branches of the natural or physical sciences, systematized knowledge in general, knowledge as of facts or principles, knowledge gained by systematic study, a particular branch of knowledge. There are many applications to the word science, and today we have computer science, political science, rocket science, and some people even categorize it in three major branches as physical science, earth science, and life science, with subdivisions to each branch. And in this show, what we really want to do is start to see just how exact divine science really is. That it's not obscure, abstract, and otherworldly like oftentimes we think it might be because it comes under the heading of being spiritual. And we can really be thankful to Mary Baker Eddy, who figured this out and really showed Jesus was a scientist. He wasn't some like freak of nature. He wasn't some superhuman human being, but he was basically revealing a principle. He was revealing a law to humanity. And unfortunately, humanity missed the message of the Christ.
So how would you explain to somebody who has never heard the phrase divine science? How would you define that to someone?
Well, I use the word science to mean knowledge, and divine science would be knowledge of the divine or the divine creative principle.
So in order to have this creative principle, you had already mentioned the word law. So there are laws and principles that are involved.
Right. They're in the same league as the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics. They're very exact laws, this principle of one power, which we must be conscious of in order to activate it in experience.
So if you had to pick a couple of principles of divine science, what would you start with?
Yeah, to answer that, I have something here from Mary Baker Eddy, Rudimental Divine Science, and I'll read it. Science is mind manifested. It is not material, neither is it of human origin. All true science represents a moral and spiritual force which holds the earth in its orbit. This force is spirit that can bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades and loose the bands of Orion. There is no material science. If by the term you mean material intelligence, God is infinite mind. Hence, there is no other mind. God is mind, but evil is not mind. Good is not in evil, but in God only. Spirit is not in matter, but in spirit only. Lore is not in matter, but in mind only. End of quote. To understand the principle that Mary Baker Eddy is talking about here, we have to start with the allness of the divine creative principle and the perfection of being. We have to know that divine creation is absolute goodness. It's everywhere and in everything. The only problem with it is that it is not reporting in the mind that we are using to get us through this lifetime. And so that's where the major problem is. We have to move beyond the testimony of the material senses. And the way we're socialized today, we're embroiled in it. We live out from the testimony of our senses. We think the senses don't lie. And the Bible tells us they are the liar. And so we have to make this adjustment. We have to start to think differently.
I think we have to talk about the fact that we need to come to the realization there is no matter. And I think Mary Baker Eddy also talks about that too in that same work that you just mentioned, Rudimental Divine Science.
Yeah, if you want, I can read that. All is mind. According to the scriptures and Christian Science, all is God, and there is naught besides Him. God is spirit, and we can only learn and love Him through His spirit, which brings out the fruits of spirit, and extinguishes forever the works of darkness by his marvelous light. The five material senses testify to the existence of matter. The spiritual senses afford no such evidence, but deny the testimony of the material senses, which testimony is correct. The Bible says, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." Romans 3:4. If, as the scriptures imply, God is all in all, then all must be mind, since God is mind. Therefore, in divine science, there is no material mortal man, for man is spiritual and eternal. He, being made in the image and likeness of spirit or God. End of quote. And today, quantum physics is actually starting to back this up. Quantum physics is catching up with Mary Baker Eddy because they are discovering what we're calling reality isn't there. When Einstein was around, people thought when you weren't looking at things, they were there. But now they're saying that what we're calling life is observation dependent, and it is the observer that sets the measurement for what's called the collapse of the wave function. And so more and more we're starting to see what we were calling consciousness and what is invisible and intangible to material sense is really the truth of being.
So if we want to talk about the truth of being, how would you recommend that we go about getting out of our five material senses so that we can be aware of these spiritual senses that we all have?
Well, in Kriya Yoga, we call that meditation, which is the seventh stage of the eight-stage system. because the fifth stage of yoga is pratyahara, sense withdrawal. So you must learn to rise above the evidence of your material senses. And then, like we have been saying, we stop thinking. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses. And we use breathing techniques. There's a direct relationship between your rate of thought and your rate of breath. And so by controlling your rate of breathing, you're controlling your rate of thinking. And then in this silence and stillness, we make the mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine truth, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And then because we're not interfering with the spiritual senses, they activate. And then when that spiritual light dawns on you, it begins to illuminate your thought. We let it govern us.
So how do we know when that is true?
Well, again, you use the testimony of your senses because consciousness is experience. What is appearing in your material senses is the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. It is telling you what you are conscious of. And we know divine mind is present. We also know divine mind is pure. It's absolute goodness. So if what is appearing in your material senses does not have divine quality, peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, then you know that you are not conscious of divine truth. And so the Bible then suggests repent, which means think differently. And the Bible gives us a real clue in that the message of the Christ is heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. If you are not expressing and voicing the mind of Christ, then again, this becomes another way of proving what you are conscious of. And I like what Mary Baker Eddy said in her writing, can you say to the proud wave thus far, and it stops. Now, some of the things you're going to learn about this is that you can't do this as a personal individual, that you must be one with the divine creative principle, which means you have to put off the old man who has a personal sense of self, who has a human will, has needs, wants, a sense of purpose. All of this goes in order for us to be able to be that place where divine truth expresses itself through us, as us.
Now, I believe Mary Baker Eddy has said that if you cannot heal the sick, then you do not know yourself spiritually. Would you consider this to be proof of this particular science?
Yes, in my opinion, I think that's exactly it. Because what we're trying to do here is we're not trying to fix an external world because we've already established that it isn't there. What we really want to try and do is get rid of the belief that it is there. And at the same time, you must reveal the truth. The divine creation. Life is perfect. The divine principle is running a perfect universe. And the intention of divine science is to reveal that when spirit is cause, creation is perfect, which is, I want to say, a jumping point or a similarity between the Western material law, the law of karma, the law of reciprocity, what you put out is what you get back. That's cause and effect. But like we said, when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1.
Human Development and the Eight Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in the summary of the show, we said that we were going to explore the unfolding process of consciousness emerging from the tomb of the mind-body complex into the resurrection of eternal spiritual life. Now, you did start talking about the 8 essential stages of yoga. Is this kind of like what we're talking about here?
Well, yeah, the 8 essential stages of Kriya Yoga, they break down into practices, but they are specifically designed to initiate this process where the human goes from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. And the fact that it does have an evidence procedure is what makes it a science.
Swami, I'm curious about using the word tomb in that summary that I had said earlier, the tomb of the mind-body complex. What is it that you wanted us to know about that?
Well, it kind of reminds me of in the Bible where it says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That this human mental, physical recreation of the divine truth isn't real. It's the false sense of life. Life is eternal, unchanging, perfect, permanent. And this changing mental material concept has got to be overcome. It has to be risen above. However you want to say that, we have to put off this false belief in order for us to get what is promised in Scripture.
And so what is promised in Scripture, is that what they're talking about, the resurrection of this eternal spiritual life?
Yeah, when we come out of the false sense of self, then things change, and they change for the better. It's got to be an upgrade. And that's one of the things that, like you were saying before, how do we know what I'm calling truth, what I'm calling the divine creative principle is the divine creative principle? Well, it's got to have divine qualities. It's got to be absolute goodness. Otherwise, you're not conscious of the truth.
Now, I know you have said in other shows that we could look at some things in our life that we think are good, but it still may not be the goodness that you're talking about from spirit. What does that look like?
Yeah, again, this is the difference between still being under the belief in two powers and under the jurisdiction of karmic law and having this conscious awareness of the divine creation, because you can't just go by the testimony of your senses. And just because you have goodness appearing in your experiences, it could still be karmic. In Revelations in the Bible, they call that looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. You haven't really gone far enough. You don't know the truth. You think you know the truth.
We have something here by Herb Fitch that I think would be really appropriate to our program today, Swami.
Yeah, this comes from the La Jolla series, and this was class 3A. And if you're interested in this, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com and you can get the full audio file and I'll play it.
I was going through the initiation in the world mind. It is meeting every temptation of that world mind as it passes through the infinite. And we must learn to walk through these obstacles, not fighting them, not overcoming them, but shifting to the soul consciousness alone, which is the magic rod of power. Now let's take a look at some of our own surface. You are overworked. You are exhausted. You're always wondering how you can catch up with your busy schedule. And there's another one somewhere suffering from domestic relationships. Arguments in the home, suspicions, resentment, the feeling of this situation is hopeless. And a third one has been sick for more than 15 years with a variety of ailments. And still a fourth one has another set of serpents. But now let's apply the principle. Without exception, the serpent that each of you have accepted in your life as real living problems are not out there. They are not external. They may seem solid like an oak tree, but they exist only in your mind. And they are made completely of the substance of your mind. And they exist only because you are in mind, not in soul. That is the great truth, which releases us from the need to solve our problems the human way. Not only problems, not only broken bones and weary hearts, but the entire material world, all of it, moons, stars, planets and galaxies, atoms and molecules, mountains and rivers, the complete spinning globe exists only within your mind, his mind, her mind, the world mind. And if you are fleeing from these serpents like Moses, or trying to reason your way through them, trying to philosophize about them, trying to protect yourself against them, resisting them, counterattacking them, trying to overcome them in any way. And you can join hands with Adam and Eve and the rest of the human race because you're making the same thing. The serpent on the ground is the human mind turned earthward. In this false mental stream, we are spiritually blind. We have accepted a me born into matter as myself. We're confined to the parenthesis, the life bank, to material limitation. Unable to manifest or even to speak the divine word. And so we live in a deep sleep of the mind. We fight false adversaries. 5,000 years ago, we were given the symbol of this crawling serpent to tell us that the human race is imprisoned in false bodies of flesh, controlled, moved by desires we do not understand, forced to place our hopes and our faith for a better life in tomorrows that must eventually end. As all flesh does. But let us not forget, a new vision dawned on this earth when Christ gave his disciples the power to trample upon all the servants of this world. They didn't trample with their feet. As a matter of fact, he told them, take off your shoes. The trampling is not going to be physical. There was a new way, a new dispensation. Even Moses, he didn't trample on snakes. He reached out his hand. In other words, his spiritual understanding of his own being enabled him to transform the false picture of snake without a struggle. Remember Jesus Christ? Did he reach out and touch the leper? Or did he fight the germ? It was spiritual understanding again, which said, stretch forth thine arm and touch this leper, which he did, just as Moses reached forth and took the snake by the tail. Now, the nature of that understanding is radically different than the understanding of science or the understanding of religion. It was really an understanding that now enables us to lift the serpent in the wilderness. They had surrendered their human belief in the existence of material form. Both Moses and Jesus knew there was no Moses and Jesus. Both knew there was no snake and no leper. They had surrendered their belief in material form. They rejected their own human judgments of the sense mind which showed material form. Moses looked at the serpent and said, God, you are omnipresent. You are here. You are there. You are omnipresent spirit. Where can the snake be? Jesus looked at the leper and said, God, you are everywhere, even where the leper appears. And where you are, perfection must be. Now, how can a lover be there? And then Moses reached forth and touched the snake. Then Jesus reached forth and touched the leper. In other words, Saul was saying, see, your real adversary is not the serpent or the leper. Your adversary is the mind that conceives the serpent and the leper. The mind that believes there are real problems, real material forms out there. And that mind is the only problem.
Yeah, for me in this talk, Jesus and Moses represent the human in the adult state. When we talk about apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, we go from the larvae state into the chrysalis phase in development, and then finally we are the adult, the butterfly, the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. The mortal sense of a human being becomes the divine child, the image and likeness of the truth of being. And what Herb said here in that little soundbite where he says, now the nature of that understanding is radically different than the understanding of science or the understanding of religion. So he's really letting us know that we don't have leadership today. And if you are really interested in this, and what we recommend is that you really start to do your own thinking, figuring things out on your own, because we're not socialized to develop that skill. And then, of course, to understand that the mind that we're using to get us through this lifetime will never be able to bring forth the divine image. We have to learn to think differently, graduate to thinking with our spiritual senses. When asked, is there more than one school of scientific healing? Mary Baker Eddy answered, and this is from Rudimental Divine Science. In reality, there is and can be but one school of science of mind healing. Any departure from science is an irreparable loss of science. Whatever is said and written correctly on this science originates from the principle and practice laid down in Science and Health, a work which I published in 1875. This was the first book recorded in history which elucidates a pathological science purely mental. Minor shades of difference in mind healing have originated with certain opposing factions springing up among unchristian students who, fusing with a class of aspirants which snatch at whatever is progressive, call it their first fruits or else postmortem evidence. A slight divergence is fatal in science, like certain Jews whom St. Paul had hoped to convert from mere motives of self-aggrandizement to the love of Christ. These so-called schools are clogging the wheels of progress by blinding the people to the true character of Christian Science, its moral power, and its divine efficacy to heal. The true understanding of Christian Science mind healing never originated in pride, rivalry, or the deification of self. The discoverer of the science could tell you of timidity, of self-distrust, of friendlessness, toil, agonies, and discoveries, and victories, under which she needed miraculous vision to sustain her when taking the first footsteps in this science. The ways of Christianity have not changed. Meekness, selflessness, and love are the paths of his testimony and the footsteps of his flock. End of quote.
Well, it's that time to start ending our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab, online classes, directs you all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and illuminate the way. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.